The Carlow Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
As the fancy voice you just heard said, this is the Carlow Soccer Podcast. I'm Harry Shortos, so let's get straight into this. Today is a League of Ireland special. A Peter special, if you will. I'll have two guests today, Peter Harvey and Peter Grogan, as we talk about life in the League of Ireland. I'll also have an update on the Nationalist Premier Division after a dramatic week at both ends of the table. My first guest is one of the fastest rising young stars in the country. He was playing for Bray Wanderers yesterday in the League of Ireland, but his career actually started right here in Carlow. Peter Grogan, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Thanks very much for having me on, Harry.
So, Peter, as I mentioned, you were playing yesterday for Bray. You lost 1-0, I believe, to Finn Harps, was it?
It was actually 2-0 in the end. They got a late goal when okay. we were playing.
How did it go?
I was happy to start and play the full 90 minutes, but to be honest, that was about all I could be happy about. It wasn't our best performance. We weren't able to create many chances in the game, and we just have to get better at seeing out halves, because in the last two games we've conceded at the end of the first half and at the end of the second half. So that's just something we have to work on now.
Yeah. Was that your first 90 minutes of the season?
That was my first 90 minutes, yeah, and it was actually quite a heavy weekend, because on Friday against Cove, I started that one as well, and yeah. I had 85. So it was a quick turnaround, I was happy to get the full 90 minutes there, as opposed to coming off near the end against Cove, yeah.
Yeah. Is that guess they would have been your third start or fourth?
Third start. So that's Bork a little bit earlier in the season, and then Cove and Finn Harps this weekend.
You're obviously making an impression then.
I suppose you could say that. I'm trying to take any chance I can get, and even when I've been coming off the bench, I've been doing well. So it's just nice that the manager had faith in me to have me in from the start in two games in a row there. So hopefully I can put together a string of starts and maybe a few goals as well along with it, and see where I go from there, you know.
Yeah. You're obviously making a bit of an impact. You scored on your debut, obviously. You made three starts. You're obviously doing something right.
Yeah. Scored against Kerry and got an assist then against Tree, and then the other night against Cove as well. So I'm contributing well to the games. And just trying to have as much energy as I can. You know, as a young player, like, usually you're able to have a bit more running in you than some of the older lads in the league. So I'm kind of trying to use that to my advantage as well, like, when I come on and even when I'm in from the start as well, just trying to, like, give them hell, really, like, run them ragged, like.
Yeah. And how's the experience been for you, Bray, so far?
Really good, to be honest. Of course, we're not doing unbelievable in the league so far, but just like the first team environment, I've really, really enjoyed it, and I think I'm definitely settling in well to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. You started out in the Crete Yard Academy, right? And then you went on to Carlow Kilkenny FC, as it was known at the time. How was that jump for you, going from juvenile soccer into a League of Ireland underage kind of environment?
Yeah, I think I took it on my stride, really. It was just after the Kennedy Cup with the Carlow Juvenile League. And obviously I was playing for Crete Yard at the time as well. Peter Harvey just signed me kind of then and there after the Kennedy Cup for Carlow Kilkenny, and it's for the 15s team at the time. And I wasn't thrown too much deep end, I suppose. I wasn't like starting every game for in the League of Ireland straight away, which was, I think it was a good thing, because I kind of just gradually made my way up into playing more games and, you know, getting used to the level of training and stuff there, which was good. Yeah.
And how was the experience at Carlow Kilkenny? Like, everyone kind of seemed to have different experiences at the club.
Mine was really positive, to be honest. My first year, I had James Toner, Connor Woods, and Sean Moore as my managers. And then the next 2 years was Micheál O'Rourke, and Kieran Hennessy. And they were always really good. I never had any problems like that. And even just like I was playing with my friends as well, which I kind of got the best of both worlds. It was a high level at the time, and I was able to have fun with it still as well. It wasn't the most serious, I suppose, at the time. But I really enjoyed my time there, to be honest.
Yeah. And then once you were kind of done with Carlo Kilkenny, you were there for a couple of 2-3 years, whatever it was, and then you went back into Crete Yard and you got basically put straight into the first team there in the Patrick Brennan days. How was it making the jump from Underage League of Ireland into a senior team in the Carlo League?
Yeah, it was definitely interesting, to be honest. You'd think your first thought is, oh, I play League of Ireland, sure, obviously I'm going to be able to go back into the Carlo League. But the senior level in Carlo is really, really high as well, and the physicality of it especially, like as you'd expect for, how old was I, probably 15, when I went in there, training with Crete and playing a few games as well. I think my first game might have been in the Cup, and then I played against New Oak as well, like, which is probably the biggest test you can get in the Carlo League. But the level was definitely a step up, I would say, especially physicality-wise.
Yeah, and then you went to Bowes for a couple of years. You never quite got anywhere. Your first season seemed to go well, but then it kind of just went a little bit downhill from there a little bit, it seemed.
I suppose you could say in a certain aspect. 17s went really, really well. I scored, I think, 22, 23 goals that year, which is obviously a really, really good start, and really, I suppose you could say, kick-started my League of Ireland career. Like, obviously, Carlo Kenny was good to kind of get used to it, but it really kind of put my name on the map up there, like, with a big club and scoring goals like that, which was good for me. But the second year wasn't the best then. In comparison to the first year, I struggled with a few injuries at the start of the year, and then, you know, I wasn't getting as much game time as I needed. I got one game for the first team, but definitely I think moving away from Bowes was the right call.
Yeah.
In the end.
And why did you go to Bowes for the 17s instead of going back to Carlo Kilkenny that year?
I really just wanted to step up in the level. I thought I was ready for it, so I contacted a few clubs, but in the end Bowes was the one for me, thankfully it all worked out and I done well there. And Bowes is a club, it's a brilliant club, and like I have honestly no bad words to say about it at all, or no bad words to say about the time I had there. I'm grateful for all of it, you know.
And then you actually got on last season onto the senior team for a Leinster Senior Cup match and scored on your debut.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was my only game for the first team, and I scored the winner against Shelburne, which was it was a really, really special moment, to be honest, because like. Even it was my first. It was probably the biggest crowd I played in Tolka Park. I think there was about 800 away fans there. So you'd imagine about 2,500 home fans. But it was kind of getting thrown into deep end, I suppose. First game to be a semi final in a cup like that. But it was really special to score there on my debut. Yeah.
Yeah, and what made you want to leave Bowes then?
To be honest, like, obviously the struggles I was having with not getting as much games as I had, and just I thought I was definitely like ready mentally and physically for a first team. Maybe not Premier Division yet, because obviously I'm still young and stuff, and I still need to get that experience. So I think First Division was definitely the best way to go, and. Yeah, I suppose you could say it's working out so far. I'm developing well and doing well.
Yeah. And how did Bray come about then?
My Bowes manager, Trevor Crawley, and Carl Grattan as well, one of the other Bowes coaches, contacted a few different clubs for me as well. And then my agent too, he helped me with the process, just contacting people. But Ian Ryan, the Bray manager, was one of the first people we contacted, and I had a call with him, and yeah, he was just saying that he'd love to have me in, and I was training with them then, maybe a week later, and yeah, that's how it all started, really.
Jeez, you've an agent at 19. Jesus. You of course were on the Irish schools team last year and even got to captain the side against England. Tell me about that experience. It must have been quite special.
Absolutely, yeah. Really, really fond memories of that that whole tournament, really. We didn't win it, I think England or Wales won it in the end, but even just getting to line out and represent your country is just like there's nothing like it, to be honest. And like I suppose I consider myself quite patriotic in that way, that I was just really, really proud, and it was like emotional, like going out there and playing. So you really just want to play your heart out every single game. Like, of course you'd want to play your heart out every game no matter who you're playing for, but when you're playing for Ireland, there's just something that bit special, more special, yeah, about it.
And getting to captain your country as well must have been special.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's just, it's kind of the cherry on top of the cake, really. You can't expect it, but like when it does come, you just have to be ready for it. And I think I was. I scored in the game and had a good performance. So, yeah.
You're at DCU at the moment. You're on the soccer team there at the moment. What's that like?
Yeah, it's good level. I wasn't able to play in either of the tournaments this year, the first year tournament or the full college tournament, because I was injured earlier in the season, and that ruled me out for both of them tournaments, unfortunately. But I was only able to play 3 or 4 league games with them. But yeah, it's a good level. There's a few League of Ireland players on the team, and then a few other Leinster senior league players as well. So yeah, it's a good level, and it's different as well. College football is different to the League of Ireland and stuff. So yeah, it's just another thing to get used to, you know.
And it must have been quite frustrating then to not be able to play.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was just the timing of the injury genuinely could not have been worse. So yeah, I got injured, I think it was 2 days before the first year tournament, and then I was back training a week after the Collingwood Cup, the full colleges tournament. So the time and the injury just could not have been worse. Yeah, so it was quite frustrating to miss out on both of them.
Yeah, I can only imagine. What advice would you give to somebody like yourself who's young, in their early teens, and wants to make it in the world of soccer? What advice would you give to someone like that? A mini you as such.
Wow, what a question. I suppose, like, you never really think about it yourself when you're in that position. Like when I was 13, 14, I was just thinking about just enjoying it, and every game you're like wanting to be really excited and prepared for every game, and just like, I suppose it's a cliche answer, but like, I'm gonna say it just to enjoy it, and like every step along the way is gonna grow. Yeah, even if that's a setback. Like, if you're able to come back from, say, being dropped for a match, or like being sent off or something. I was sent off once or twice in the Carlow League, I think. Like, anything like that, you know. Like, there's things that are going to challenge you, and you just have to be ready for anything to come your way. And just the main thing is to keep your head up and just keep enjoying it, every match you get to play.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for coming on the podcast, Peter. Always a pleasure to talk to you, mate.
You too, Harry. Thanks very much for having me on.
No problem at all. That was Peter Grogan there, a former CBS student in Carlow who came through the Cretyard Academy and is currently playing with Bray Wanderers in the League of Ireland. My next guest is a man who has been involved in Carlow soccer for a very long time. He's a former chairman of the Carlow and District Juvenile League, and he's now chairman of the local League of Ireland side, CK United. Welcome to the show, Peter Harvey.
Good morning, Harry.
Peter, let's get straight into things. CK United was founded back in 2017 as Carlow Kilkenny FC. Talk to me a little bit about how that all came about. What was the process involved with it? Who came up with the original idea? How did it all come together?
Well, at the time in 2017, there was obviously no pathway for our young players to go from playing Kennedy Cup on to the next level, and they were all having to travel to Dublin. And then the under 15 National League were looking for expressions of interest. So ourselves and Carlo had a chat with the committee in Kilkenny, Tom Mullins and Fran Egan, and a few others that were involved at the time. Myself and John Collins and Pat Nolan were the three that were initially involved. And we came up with an idea to put in an application, a joint application, to form a League of Ireland club at under 15 level, to give the our players in Carlo and Kilkenny an opportunity to play National League without having to leave their own environment and play in Dublin or elsewhere to further their careers.
Mm. And how long did it all kind of take to come together from this, the inception of the idea to it actually coming together?
Well, we had our first meetings in mid-2017, and we played our first match in March 2018. It took a long time getting to the point. We had to go through committees and all that, through the FAI to get permission to join the league. Then once that happened, then we had to form the club and get everything up and running, managers in place and players in place to play in the 2018 season, which we did, and we done quite well in the first year. So
how was it difficult to kind of get the players in that first season, get the coaches, get everything together being in a brand new club?
Well, we got the coaches through the local environments. Like Ethan O'Neill came in and a few others, but then we had Mark Ross come in as manager. Mark was a UEFA B coach at the time, and he was working with the FAI, and with the help of Gary Cody, we had a chat with Mark and he came in. So the coaches, they were hard enough to get, but we managed to do it in the first few months, which gives a level playing field to get back straight into the competition.
Yeah. Gary Cody was a lot of help here, was he? I know he's kind of been, he was kind of involved a lot in the early stages and helping bring it together.
Yeah, Gary was like our liaison officer between ourselves and the FAI, and he gave us a lot of advice and help to get up and running. So, I mean, we're forever grateful for the work Gary put in the first few years just to help us get to where we are today. I mean, there was a lot of people involved in those early years are no longer involved, but had a big impact on the forming of the club.
Mm. And you've kind of grown as a club year on year and added more teams year on year. We're in, to the point now where you've got a full complement of underage sides. I think this year was the first year you didn't actually get to add another team because you had the full complement.
That's correct. I mean, we've basically been adding year on year to what we have. We've got four boys teams from under 14, 15, 17s and 20s. Which is actually a new age group this year because it was 19s up until last year. And then in the women's side, we've got under 17s and under 19s. We applied a year ago for the first team, but unfortunately Kerry got it instead of us, the men's first team that is. And at the moment we're putting together a package that will hopefully see women's first team football being played by CK United in the 2025 season. That's our ambition. So we're working very hard towards that at present.
Yeah. And where's that at? What needs to be done now to get that first team Women's League of Ireland football?
Well, we think we're there. We think we're ready to play women's first team. The facilities is obviously a big thing. We've started playing our under-19s women and under-20s boys games in the Watershed in Kilkenny. And there's a little bit of work to be done in that venue to get up to League of Ireland standard. But we're at the moment, with the support of the Kilkenny Council and the Watershed itself, we're building towards that. We've just installed a set of dugouts into the grounds and we're looking to put a stand on at some point during this season, and then we should be just about ready to go for a women's first team for next year.
Kilkenny United, I think, used to use the Watershed for their games. So has the standard kind of changed since then?
Yes, the facilities have been upgraded by the League of Ireland, so you need stands, you need media rooms, but the venue has a lot of things to offer that's already in there. The dressing rooms are perfect. You know, the whole venue is a great venue. It just needs a few things to tweak it to get it up to the right standard. Mm-hmm. So, yes, from when Kilkenny United were playing League of Ireland, things have grown. The League of Ireland are trying to upgrade everything to make it a more positive experience for the supporters. So obviously the facilities is a big thing for that as well.
Yeah. And in terms of men's League of Ireland football senior team, where are we with that? I know that's obviously a goal as well.
Well, that's all dependent upon what the League of Ireland do. I mean, we did apply for first team before when Kerry got in, and the facilities was a big thing that went against us because we couldn't get Buckley Park, and then the watershed wasn't up to standard. So that's what went against us. And Kerry had a ready-made facility in Mount Hope Park, which they're using at the moment. But the League of Ireland plan is that they go a third division for the men's, and they're hoping for next year, but we'll see what happens with that. But we'll be ready to go once whatever they announce for the next tier down. And then hopefully that will give us an opportunity to get promoted to the first division then, because there will be promotion from the third tier into the first division if you can supply the right team and the right facilities.
Yeah. And you're obviously given grounds that were leased to you by the Carlow County Council in Tullow, the old Castlemore grounds. How is that development going?
Well, that we're still waiting to sign the lease on that, but that should be happening in the next week or so. And then it'll be all guns blazing. We're just waiting to see what sort of grants we can get to upgrade the facility. Depending on the size of the grants, we'll either go with a full-size all-weather pitch, which will help us with the training costs, play all our academy games there. And but yeah, I mean, we're looking to spend a lot of money in there and get it up to the right standard. If we don't get the full grant that we're looking for, then it'll be a grass pitch, which will take a year to cultivate because the grounds are not in a great position because there was a lot of animals feeding on the grass and that, so it has to be totally brought up and then relayed. So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks, but the plans are out there that we're going to be doing a lot of work in there to get it up to standard to play and train in.
Yeah, so it's going to be a bit of a... You're going to take time to kind of get there with that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it'd be nice, though, to have a ground that you can call your own somewhat, because I know you're using a lot of different pitches at the moment. You've obviously used Dirdamus in the past. You've used IT Carlow when the club first started. You're using, at the moment, St. Kleshin, Burren Celtic. You're using the watershed, obviously. So it'd be nice to just have somewhere that you can call your own rather than using different grounds.
Yeah, I mean, it would mean a lot to us. I mean, firstly, we would like a centralised playing area so that everybody knows that that's where we play our games at each level. But also the cost of what we're doing at the moment is astronomical by paying for training facilities and match day facilities at all the venues. So that will be a big help once we get everything up and running. But yeah, I mean, and then obviously any money that we're generating will go back into the team rather than going out the door. So yeah, it's a very important stage for us at this moment to get all these venues up and running to facilitate the club for years to come.
One thing that people would have noticed about the club is that there's been a lack of success in the club on the pitch so far. Why is that? What's stopping that development?
Well, that all depends what you class as a lack of success. We think we've been very successful on the pitch because we're bringing players through to the next level. Our philosophy is not about winning every game, it's about developing players. So we constitute that as success. And the fact that we have lots of players coming to us and then leaving us wherever they're going. I mean, Peter Grogan is a prime example. Peter came to us straight from Kennedy Cup. He stayed with us for 2.5 years and he's now playing first team in Bray. I think that's more an indictment on our success than winning a trophy here or whatever. We're still doing very well. We're being competitive in all the games we're playing. So that's what success is about to us. It's not about winning the trophy.
Yeah, he was actually on with me a little bit earlier on actually here, and he was just talking very fondly about his time at Carlow Kilkenny FC, as it was known when he was there. He was very fond of his time there, which is good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. We've got a motto that's identify, develop and inspire. And what that means is that we identify the talent and we try to develop it and we inspire them to go on to a better thing, you know, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to provide that better thing. But at the moment, we're not. So to see people like Peter going on to the next level is very important for us, because it will help other players come in here and see what we can offer them.
Yeah. Like, you look at the kind of... You've lost players at times as well. Like, there's been a mass exodus. Like, there was a few years ago, there was a mass exodus of girls from the 17s or the 19s. I can't remember which one it was. Obviously, you lost Jenny Bunboden this year as well. Why is that? And how do you combat it? How do you stop players leaving and continuing through the CK system?
Well, the way we stop players leaving us in either side is obviously first team football, because these players are going to other clubs who offer them the opportunity to have first team football. And until we get it, there's always going to be an exit of some sort. But we've also got lots of other players that have stayed with us because they see that we're providing them with the right education and the right opportunities within the game to further their own education. We have players like Ella Gleason, who's doing the course in the college, and she's now helping us with coaches, and that's where she sees that she's going is more of a coaching role. Then if we get a first team next year, then hopefully she'll step up to that as well. But there's always, if you look at every club in the League of Ireland, there's people leaving every season to go to the next level or to what they perceive as the next level. It's not always the best thing for them to do, but that's, there's always a choice for people to come and go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's also nice to see players coming back who have gone off to these other places and then coming back to us because they realise that we gave them a better opportunity. And that has happened on quite a few occasions as well.
There's kind of been a lot of development and change within the club. Like, I remember a few years ago where the girls' teams were getting hammered each week. They could not get a win to save their life. And then you look at last season, we got to a point where both girls' teams were very unlucky to not progress further than they did. And they were very close matches. Well,
that's because we had a total regime change at the head of football. We brought in Shane Duffy as our director of football. And we last season on the women's side, we brought in Craig Hurley, who previously was manager of Treaty United's under-17s when they won the National League. Craig was able to come in and help us get some girls who'd be in, come in who had the experience of playing National League, and also to help our own young girls from Carlo and Kikeri progress to the next level, because these are very good coaches and have a good reputation within the game. So you're right, we went from getting beat by heavy scores. I mean, you just have to look at last season with the under-19s. They got beat 10-1, I think it was, in the first game against Wexford Youth at the time. And then we played them in the cup and they beat us by the odd goal by bringing on first team players because they were only drawn with us with a few minutes to go. So they brought in the older first team players and they scraped through against us. But that was a big difference from getting beat 10-1 a few months before. So we were very grateful for the work that's been getting put in by the coaches at all levels, but especially on the girls' side, because obviously there's been a massive game change in that in the last year.
Yeah. The boys under 15 side seem to be one of the most talented kind of groups that you've had in the club for a while.
They probably are. I mean, they've been nurtured for the last year by Owen Johnson and the lads, and they're having a great year at the moment. They're third in the group, but with a win against Wexford, will probably put us into second position, and the top two go through to the elite stages. And it's been a long time since we've had any teams in the elite stages of any of the age groups. So that age group is coming along fine. But that just shows that the work that's been put into them in the last year about nurturing them to the next level, it's not all about winning, it's about getting them to the next level. And these lads seem to be getting there.
Yeah. There always seemed to kind of be like a high turnover of coaches in the club. It feels like this year, for the first time, there's been more continuity than before. Why is there such a high turnover of coaches, and why is there not that continuity helping them kind of grow through the age groups more?
Well, we obviously, coaches come and go depending on what their priorities are. We had a lot of coaches coming in from set to as it is now, but it was Caro IT from the FAI course. And there was always only going to be a short lifespan for them because they're in college. And when they finish that college, degree, they go on to bigger and better things. Like, we've got James Toner's over in Australia, managing in Australia. We've got Connor Woods is working with the Irish under, I think it's the 17s women's team. So, I mean, the player coaches we've had in that have gone on to bigger and better things, but there was always going to be a short lifespan with them. Mm. We've now been recruiting more locally for the last 2 years. So those coaches are around the area looking to coach at the highest level, and they're looking to stay. So we've got a very stable group of coaches now, which will help us bring us to the next level. But also we're helping them with their coaching badges and with their own in-house training as well, because Shane's a trainer. He's doing his he's just finished Elite A and gone to his pro license now. So he's putting things together for the coaches to get to the next level, which is also very good. So we're providing that education for them to go, which keeps them within our environment.
Yeah. That lack of first-team football sometimes kind of leads to players kind of leaving the League of Ireland system and kind of not going anywhere. I look at the likes of Adam McCarron, I look at the likes of Jan Flesher, players like that, they go through the system, but there's no end goal for them, so they just kind of end up going back into the Carlo League. So, like the first team football.
I look at that as a positive thing when you see players like Adam, who I know very well. I know obviously Lavinia and Trevor were very involved with the club whilst he was in here, and his brother Ben, obviously.
Yeah.
But our thing was always that players can go back to the local leagues and enhance those leagues once they've been in with us. They may not want to go to the next level of League of Ireland, but I mean, Adam's in college in Limerick. He's doing very well down there. He's playing for Aeroge. He's playing for Hanover. But he's helping with the experience that he's had within us. He's transferring on to what he's doing within his own clubs and his own league. So that is obviously a big positive to what we do.
Mm.
Only a small amount of players who come through any League of Ireland academy are going to make it to the League of Ireland level, never mind going to the next level. But that should only help the local leagues prosper, which is what we're all about as well. And we're actually happy for our coaches to go out to local league clubs, which has happened. We've had coaches out in Carlow, Kilkenny, Wexford, Tipperary, helping local clubs coach their teams to give them a bit of our experience, and that goes across very well as well. Yeah. So I think it's a positive thing when these players go back.
Mm. And you must be kind of proud of the alumni that have kind of come through the club that are going on to senior league Ireland. Like we talked about Peter Grogan, I look at Jess Lawler, who has been in the first team at Wexford. I look at players like that. You must be quite happy to see that.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about. I mean, we obviously have ambitions to go to the top level. But whilst we don't have that, obviously what we are is we're a feeder club to other League of Ireland clubs. But to me, that's what I'm saying. What I said earlier, our success is seeing these players going in and playing the League of Ireland. Also, Mia Lenehan has played first-team football down in Wexford as well. So just to see those players talking out and playing first-team football in League of Ireland just shows that we have been successful in bringing them to the next level.
Yeah.
So we're delighted for them all to be going to that level.
Yeah. What does the future look like for CK United? Where do you see the club in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time? Where do you see the club going?
Oh, we see the club as being a full-time, well, not full-time, obviously, but depending on finances, but we see them being as a first-team force within the League of Ireland, both in the men's and the women's. That's what we're here for. And hopefully within 3 or 4 years, we're at that stage, maybe even quicker. All depends on developments in the League of Ireland. And if we can get there, we'll get there. That's the whole idea. It all depends on finance. Obviously, so sponsorship is very important to us. But the will within the club is very strong there, so we will get there.
Yeah. You talk about sponsorship. That's been a big thing I've noticed, that there does seem to be a lot of sponsorship coming through. You don't seem to have much trouble getting that.
Oh, well, everybody's got trouble getting sponsorship, but it's through the hard work of a lot of people in the club, and we seem to be getting a lot of traction with our parents as well. They seem to be going out and getting a sponsorship because they can see that we're trying to help their young girls and boys go to the next level. So they're talking to their companies that they work in, people they know, so getting them on board, which is very good. Also, our fundraising activities are very strong. We're just in the middle of a last man standing. We play some foot golf at the weekend, and we'll have a golf classic in Carlow Golf Club on the 10th of May, which is already showing a great support for us. A lot of people getting involved doing sponsorship. So people want to get involved with us. It's good for them. It's good for us. And it's where we need to be, what we need to do to keep the club going.
Yeah. And just before we finish, Peter, I know you're a huge Celtic fan. How are you feeling about the big Old Firm derby on the weekend?
I'm feeling pretty positive after the last few weeks, actually. Celtic are doing very well. All the players are coming back. Atati was back last weekend, and McGregor will be back this weekend. So I'm very hopeful that we can win.
Well, thanks very much, Peter.
Hopeful's a word.
Well, thanks very much, Peter, for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate your time.
No problem at all, Harry. Thanks very much.
So I did promise you all an update on the Nationalist Premier Division because it has been a dramatic weekend at both ends of the table. So I think we need to dissect that a little bit. Let's look at the title race first. Brian O'Reilly said it here last week. The title race was not over, and he proved to be correct. Newark drew with Bagnallstown on Sunday in a 2-2 draw. At McGrath Park in Bagnallstown, a late equaliser from Danny Doyle proved to be the Newark's downfall there. Both sides ended up with 9 men, I believe. What happened? I have no idea. Nobody is telling me anything. All I've heard is rumours, and I don't want to lie to you guys and tell you something and it proves to be incorrect. So yeah, I did try and find out, but nobody's telling me anything. So if anybody wants to tell me, I can bring it to you guys next week on the podcast. But anyway, what does this mean for the title? It now means that New Oak must win their last 3 games to be guaranteed a title win. Any slip up means that if Crate Yard win on Sunday at home to Bagnallstown, they will be crowned champions instead. The title can actually be won as early as this Sunday if somehow Collession get a result against New Oak, because Crate Yard would not be able to be caught. The relegation race also got interesting because Kilree got a point against Vale on Sunday, and I know that was kind of the game. I think everyone kind of thought if Kilree are going to stay up, this has to be the game that they target to try and win. But they didn't win. They got a draw, which means that they now are 1 point behind Collession. So it basically means that if Collession beat New Oak, they guarantee their safety. That's the only thing we know for sure. If they get a draw against New Oak, you would think that would be enough to keep them safe, because that would mean Kilree have to beat Hanover. If Kilree beat Hanover, you would think that would more than likely guarantee their safety, because that means that Collession would have to beat New Oak to be safe. If Kilree draw and Collession lose, the two would end up level on points, which is interesting because that could force a potential relegation playoff. That's not confirmed. That's just a theory as to what could happen. I've never seen that happen in my 6 years in the Carlow League, but it could happen. You never know. It's a very real possibility that the two could end up level on points, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. I could see Kilree getting a draw. I can't see Collession beating New Oak, so I could easily see that, and it could lead to a relegation playoff, which would be very interesting. So there's plenty to play for this week, of course, in the Nationalist Premier Division. We will have all the details right here for you next week, so tune in and we'll hopefully try and get some reaction to whatever happens either way. That's it for today, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I just want to say thank you to everyone for all the positive comments over the past week, all the positive comments on the touchlines over the weekend, all the likes and reposts and shares on the podcast. It truly means a lot. I wasn't sure how this would come across. It's something very, very different for me, very much outside my comfort zone. So to get that reassurance was huge, from family to friends to people I see at games. It really does mean a lot. And the negative comments too, because it helped me improve. And I like to think of it as constructive feedback. So keep liking, keep reposting, keep sharing, and let's keep pushing this thing. And as always, please feel free to let me know any ideas or suggestions you may have for the podcast, because this is as much your podcast as it is mine. Thanks a million to Robbie and Shane for all the help in getting this out. We'll be back next week, same time, same place.
The Carlo Soccer Podcast with Harry Shortos. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.